name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The end of today's Gospel, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. When I first looked at this Gospel, preparing for my sermon, my immediate thought was, not sin again. But the story of Zacchaeus is one of the most instructive stories in the whole of the New Testament. And I take heart from its wonderful conclusion when Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." That certainly is the culmination of any story about sin and sinners. It is the whole point of our Lord's life and ministry. It is the gospel for Christians. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Not only is this the purpose of our Lord's earthly life, it is still a present reality. Only this week I received a letter from a woman whom I have known for most of my life as a priest. And she likes to get my sermons and the parish magazine in the mail and likes to hear about what's happening at All Saints. And in this letter, she commented on my sermon about sin some 6 weeks ago, and she said, "I think the answer to sin is Jesus waits for us on the altar." Yes, the Son of Man waits, because he still comes to seek and save the lost. But he does come to save, despite our unworthiness. And what about the consequences of sin, and particularly for us in our own lives? I sometimes think, when I reflect on my times of sinning and other things, perhaps neglect of God is like a wasteland. And if we reflect on the wastelands of our lives, we surely should have in mind the words of Psalm 107. "He turns the desert into pools of water, parched land into springs of water." The story today of Zacchaeus is the story of the wasteland of his life turning into springs of water. It is the story of the consequences of sin and the consequences of forgiveness. And that is why it leads to our blessed Lord saying, "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Today's gospel, like last Sunday's, features a tax collector. Last week's tax collector, you remember, I trust, went to the temple to pray and approach God in humility, aware he was a sinner. "God be merciful to me, a sinner," were the words he said. Jesus said that he went home justified, unlike the self-righteous judgmental Pharisee standing next to him. It would not have been lost on those who heard that parable that Jesus told that the tax collector was a despised outcast in Jewish society. They were the despised of all the people. In today's incident, therefore, Jesus shows that he reaches out even to those who are despised, those tax collectors. It is a fascinating story. Zacchaeus, this rich tax collector, is intrigued about Jesus, but he is short, so he climbs a tree to see him. Imagine this rich man in all his fine robes climbing up a tree to see Jesus. He is risking, of course, contempt and ridicule from the crowd who hate him so much, from the ordinary people that he collected taxes from. And when Jesus sees Zacchaeus in the tree, what is his response? He doesn't say, "Well done, my good man, for getting up the tree," or "Turn from your ways, you sinner." No, Jesus says, "Come down, for I must stay at your house today." This was an extraordinary thing to say. As revealed by the reaction of the crowd, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. There were other occasions, I'm sure you remember, when Jesus ate in the homes of tax collectors and sinners and all sorts of people that were judged, and he was criticised for it. And the reason for such criticism is because of the context of a meal. For us, a dinner party, whether elaborate or humble, is an occasion of joy and sharing. The people we invite, we want to share things with, we want to share our lives. It may be a special occasion like a birthday or Thanksgiving, a time of celebration. And for Christians, special meals mark the great festivals like Christmas and Easter. But even a simple family barbecue is an occasion of sharing our lives and our hopes, a time of growing in bonds of affection and love. And for Christians, a meal is a time of grace, a sacrament almost. Because the table, the meal, is so symbolic to Christians, we can understand why it was shocking for Jesus to dine with a tax collector. Those tax collectors were the most despised agents of the hated Romans. It wasn't just that they collected taxes for the oppressor. They often demanded more than what was required. And they often sold their rights onto their friends and relatives. It was extortion, and the whole system was what we would call daylight robbery. That, of course, is why they were rich and why they were ostracized. So, you see, it was bad enough that Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus, but it was intolerable that he would dine with him. And in essence, of course, by dining with Zacchaeus, Jesus was bonding with this rich, despised tax collector, virtually making himself impure in the eyes of the Pharisees in particular. And that is why you see in the New Testament the scribes and Pharisees would have nothing to do with the company Jesus kept, and they criticized him for it. This man eats with tax collectors and sinners, they said. For they want to stay holy apart from those people. But they had forgotten something important. The scribes and the Pharisees had forgotten that, with the exception of our Lord, all of us are inclined to sin. Some sins are obvious, like murder. Some not so obvious, like a love of money or being judgmental. But as Scripture says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. As well as forgetting that, the tax collectors, the scribes and the Pharisees had also forgotten that every single soul is important to God and loved by him, and no one is to be despised. Every human being is loved by Jesus and supremely important to God. That's what the story of Zacchaeus tells us. Jesus' acceptance of Zacchaeus resulted in a complete turnaround of his life. Conversion and repentance, we call it. And so Jesus concludes, "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." The final thing the story tells us is that love leads to change, not the other way round. Love leads to change. That is what happened to Zacchaeus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.